you're gay.
Do you ever feel like I'm your internet boyfriend?
That, honestly, a great point. Yeah, I do. Do you ever feel like I'm your internet girlfriend?
Yeah, definitely. I was literally like, internet friends, that's freaking weird. And I mean, I don't know that I would consider you my internet friend, but we live so far apart and we only see each other on the internet now. I was like, who the hell has internet friends? And I was like, wait.
I do. I have a friend who's a podcast with one.
I know. Seriously. I mean, we're huge internet friends.
Also, beyond like you and I, you know, we were real life friends for a long time for, you know, years and years and years and years before we became internet friends. But we do both have friends that were originally internet friends.
No, seriously. I have friends who like live in Ireland, you know?
Yeah. So Will Rosenberg, I get you.
No, seriously.
Would I let them influence me to try and kill my classmate? I don't think so. But
anything maybe is possible.
Recovering Gleek presents
Slay! A queer Buffy podcast.
Hi everyone, I'm Lena.
I'm Ian.
Welcome to
I'm Ian.
Slay! A queer Buffy podcast. We're happy to have you. Who are you?
I keep being like, I was like, I think it'd be kind of fun if like we did it with a different intonation sometimes. And then I remembered, you know, like this time we're like excited. This time we're sad. This time we're dramatic. Some of these episodes are sad, but I remembered that in the moment and panicked. I was like, I have to do something unique, and that's what came out.
Also, to me come in and say, I'm Lena, and then for you to not tell me you're doing a bit, and then go, I'm Ian.
That's not at all how I said it. I went,
but I mean, like, no, I'm thinking if you did sad and you didn't tell me we were doing sad.
Yeah, no, and that was the issue is because I realized that, well, here's the deal. I realized you were already saying I'm Lena, and I was like, I didn't say an emotion. Shit. And then I thought, if I match her energy too much, I don't want it to come off as if I'm making fun of her.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was trying to do another take that seemed complimentary, but didn't seem like I was mocking you. And then what came out was that.
I liked it.
Thank you. I'm going to commit to it now.
And don't worry. I've been bullied, and I have been trained by my mother to say, I'm having fun. You're just jealous. You're gay.
Well, hi, everyone. If you're listening to this podcast, you're gay. Mm-hmm. And also, you watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Pretty exciting. Pretty cool.
Oh, my God. My favorite kind of person.
I literally We're queer. Get used to it.
Yeah.
Last night in real time on May 31st, which is last night in real time, I saw the picture Dorian Gray on the Bridgeway starring Glee's own Sarah Snook. She was not in Glee. Also, we're not talking about Glee anymore. And I saw it with our friend Tiffany. And I was talking to Tiffany about my day. And I said, like, this is so boring. Long story short, I mentioned that I had watched this episode of Buffy during the day. And the guy sitting next to me goes, did you say something about Buffy?
So mean. You said, I've actually got a calling card for you, sir.
Tiffany, being the EP that she is, she was like, he has a Buffy podcast. anyways, so we had a lovely conversation about Buffy while waiting to watch Picture Dorian Gray.
I love that.
He and his boyfriend's never seen it, so he's having his boyfriend watch it for the first time.
Oh, that's season three.
Exciting.
You get to season three, you're already hooked.
Exactly. If you get to season two, you're already hooked.
If you get to iRobot You, Jane the Eighth episode of the first season,
you're already hooked. Having watched this episode recently, I don't know how true that is.
It is better than I remembered. I had fun.
I have fun.
Okay, lame.
Anyways.
Jesus.
Sorry, should we get into it?
I guess so.
Okay.
I'll go first?
Yeah, with the slacks? I think you should go first. I think that'd be fun.
Maybe switch things up, so I'll go first with the slacks. Okay.
Oh yeah, it's time for the slacks.
Like I said, iRobot You Jane is the eighth episode of the first season. And also because it's the first season, get this, eighth episode overall. Crazy.
You're kidding.
I'm not. It was written by Ashley Gable with Thomas A. Sweden and directed by Stephen Posey. It was originally broadcast on April 28th, 1997 on the WB network.
Hell yeah.
Where were you, April?
April 28th, 1997. I don't know, learning to walk. When do kids start walking? I don't know. I have literally four nieces and nephews. I have no idea the age when a kid starts walking.
I think I was...
No, by two, I'm walking. And I'm walking.
I was 7 months old.
Yeah, well, I was almost two, so put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Oh my God, you're so old. Okay, so a lovely patron let us know that they have more fun facts on IMDb. So these are a mixture of IMDb facts and also Buffy Wiki. Don't you worry, we're diversifying our info. Get excited. Oh my God, I'm covered in cat hair in a way that is a sensory nightmare and I can't even express to you. Oh my God, I'm freaking out. Okay. The title of this episode is a pun on Me, Tarzan, You, Jane, combined with I, Robot. So like I, Robot, the title of a science fiction stories.
Okay.
What?
I didn't realize this is stupid of me. Okay, continue.
You're looking at me like
No, I believe you. That's just...
I'm a liar.
For whatever reason, I'm like surprised that it is an iRobot reference.
It says iRobot in the title.
I know, but no, you're right. I'm egg on my face. Continue.
You're not stupid. You're not stupid. Just don't call me a liar while I do the glack. You said you're a liar.
You said a liar alert.
I love doing that with new information that surprises me. I actually just think it's all lies.
Yeah, I just discount it. I say, well, I know everything. So if I didn't know that, it's not true. Yeah.
But it's a mixture of Tarzan and iRobot, which is fun. I didn't know that before. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, that was my surprise. I got the Tarzan Jane. Yes. I did not.
The iRobot part.
Yeah, I, in all honesty, I wasn't aware of how much of a cultural mainstay iRobot was prior to the movie adaptation.
Yeah.
So I didn't know it was a well-known enough story to reference in the title of a TV episode.
I hear you. Yeah. But I think in Tarzan, it's Me, Tarzan, You, Jane.
You're correct. Yeah. And also there's a dot, 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 which makes sense. Like in the episode title, it's iRobot, dot, 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 You, Jane.
Yeah. It could be two separate thoughts.
Yes.
And is it I, comma, robot?
Yeah. And then it says starring Will Smith afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Will Smith. And also that guy who plays the chicken on Moana. Am I making that up?
He's in that?
In my mind, he's a robot. Yes, in my mind, he's a robot.
What is he? He probably is. I don't know. I don't remember his name.
He's in like A Knight's Tale.
Yes, he plays, famously he plays, oh my gosh, Chaucer. Is he Chaucer? Alan Tudyk, you're correct.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I haven't seen that movie, but I always have like funny nuggets of information specifically about that guy.
Oh my gosh. I'm thinking Paul Bettany as Chaucer in Knight's Tale. Alan Tudyk is in it, but he's not.
But
Chaucer.
He is in it. Yes.
Continue. Wow. We are off topic. Continue.
Alan Tudyk goes, it's called a lance. Hello. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Is Alan Tudyk the one that says, tell her you miss her breasts? I remember the first time we watched that movie, well, I watched that movie. Mm-hmm. It was like my parents were so strict about PG-13 movies being watched by us. And I'm 6 years, like 6 or 7 years old, and we're watching this movie. And my older siblings, it was always really annoying to them because they were old enough to watch these movies.
Yes.
But like we couldn't watch them in the house because little 6 year old me could like beep up into the room. So they fought my parents so hard. I'm like, let us watch A Knight's Tale. It's not that inappropriate at all. Like, he will be fine. And then Alan Tudyk says, tell her you miss her breasts. And I turn to my mom and I go, what is he talking about? And my mom was like, we have to turn the movie off.
Shout out to Eileen. We had a 100% different childhoods. I was like watching everything, and my parents were like, yeah. "She doesn't know what that is. Who cares?"
No, absolutely. It was, and I think that doubled down the PG-13 rule for a few more years.
Oh my gosh, you ruined everything.
I asked, "Why is he saying tell her you miss her breasts? What is that supposed to mean?"
Damn it, you can't help it that you're inquisitive.
And I would also do this thing. I know that you can't relate to this because sorry. I realized that joke just
you're not even finishing the joke for me to understand what you're saying.
Okay. The joke was going to be, I know that you can't relate to this because you're untouched by purity culture. And that was supposed to be a joke because you famously are very touched by purity culture. But based on you just saying that your family
Definitely in a different way than you. That's true.
I didn't want it to make it seem like I was making fun of you.
Yeah. Oh, no, no, no. I hear you.
But I was going to say, because I was so raised in purity culture, I'm pretty sure that the second it was explained to me what he meant, because that was another rule my parents had, was my mom was like, I'm never going to lie to my kids. So like, if we ever asked a question, she would answer it.
Yeah.
And so I asked like, what did he mean? And then she told me, and I immediately burst into tears. I just was like, I felt so much shame that I had like asked a question that was about sex. I immediately started crying.
Oh, you poor thing.
That was like one time when I was really little. We were watching, I remember the DCOM starring Lindsay Lohan, Get a Clue. Classic.
Yeah, girl.
And I still to this day don't know like why I said this, and it also isn't even it's not a big deal. We were watching Get a Clue, and she's spying on like her teachers, and they're talking in a room, and I go, what the hell are they doing? And my mom was like, what did you say? And once again,
where did you even get that?
I don't know. And I immediately burst into tears again. I was like inconsolably sobbing. Like a little 7-year-old me. What the hell are they doing?
What the hell are they doing?
And then my and then my parents,
did you hear that at kindergarten?
I don't like,
your genuinely parents weren't saying that.
I cannot tell you where I heard it. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I was a citizen of the world. I'm sure I just like heard it on the street somewhere. Yeah. But I remember that my parents tried to make it so my sister wasn't allowed to watch Boy Meets World anymore because they were convinced I heard it on Boy Meets World.
Oh, no. Topanga, no.
Topanga. She's swearing like a sailor on that show.
Oh, seriously.
Dang.
That is so funny. I remember the first swear word saying and getting in trouble for, but was in watching my favorite movie of all time, Josie and the Pussycats. Mm-hmm. Rosario Dawson says to Alan Cumming, you're messing with the wrong pussy.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember my parents were getting gas and my dad like wasn't doing something that I wanted him to do or like giving me something I wanted him to hand to me. And I said something and I called him a pussy. And then my mom was like, where on earth did you hear that? And I think I explained, I was like, oh, I think Val says it on Josie and the Pussycats. And they were like, okay, girl, maybe not. like, let's maybe not call your dad a pussy. Like, and they explained to me what it was, and I was like, oh, okay, so it's just not nice.
I remember after the great Knight's Tale debacle of 01, the next movie that my siblings really wanted to, not have to watch after I went to bed was The Goonies. And they had
Of swearing in The Goonies, if I remember right.
They had to fight tooth and nail with my parents, let us watch The Goonies. And the agreement that was made was my brother literally sat me and my sister down, and he said, don't repeat anything you hear in this movie to a degree that, like, then as a kid, I just assumed that, like, the most innocuous lines were actually I remember specifically when Andy is like, I feel like I'm babysitting, but I'm not getting paid. I was like, that's inappropriate. It's just like,
oh my gosh, just prepped you for.
Because I have been told, like, don't repeat anything. Yeah. Yeah. I just assumed that, like, everything they said in the movie was inappropriate somehow.
Did I ever tell you that we were watching Princess Diary one time and Mia says to her grandma, like, shut up. And that was, like, the biggest swear in our household. Mm-hmm. And my parents convinced me that it was a swear word. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, Mom, did you hear? She just said, like, the biggest swear word of all. Shut up.
This is on the Disney Channel.
Yeah, seriously.
She's like, on the Disney Channel.
I said, this show's for kids. Why is she saying that?
We will get back into the slags, but I have one more story about shut up.
I know. I love it.
Which was, you know, my parents are trying to lead by example. And so they also did not want their kids saying shut up, which meant that they could not say shut up. Mm, yeah. And one time, me and my sister were being hellions in this hotel room, jumping on the bed, laughing, screaming. My poor dad multiple times had been like, be quiet, be quiet. Like, there's people on the other side of these walls. You need to be quiet. We would not listen. Mm. We're being so loud. My dad has had enough.
Yeah. Oh,
and goes, I'm excited. Shut! Catches himself, realizes I can't say up because, like, that's our one rule.
Yeah.
So pivots and goes, shut the noise down. We caught him with his pants down. He lost all power in the situation. Me and my sister were like, shut the noise down. And then we were even worse. We were even louder.
Oh,
and
truly, your poor dad.
He completely lost all control over the situation by saying, shut the noise down. That then he couldn't scare us straight no matter what he did.
Oh,
we were just loud. Nightmares. And
oh my gosh. Man.
Awful. That poor man.
That is so interesting about being an adult in, like, the adult world with adult anxieties. In, like, you know, semi-public, like a hotel, like, and realizing that your kids maybe don't have that, you know, social awareness. And you're like, what the hell do I do?
Well, also, the moment as a parent, which is something we can't relate to because we totally don't have kids. But the moment as a parent when you realize that, like, your kids no longer fear you for no reason anymore, you know?
Like, oh my God.
My mom talks about the day that my grandmother realized she had lost control over my mom and my uncle, and they were sitting on the stairs, like, refusing to do what my grandma would say. And my grandma was like, okay, 5, 4, 3. And they both just stared at her.
Like, yeah, get to and one. Then, what are you going to do?
She got down to 0 and was like, fuck, I had nothing planned.
The counting always worked on me because rule following makes, if I can't follow a rule, my body is going to burst into flames. I'm a big rule follower. Mm-hmm. But I worked in a daycare for a couple of summers and I worked with, like, school age kids. And I'd be like, okay, we're getting in line, y'all, my friends, let's get in line. I'd be like, okay, 3, we're getting in line in 2, we're getting in line in 1. Okay, we're not in line. Know that I'm not going to do anything. I'm not their freaking parent. I'm not doing anything. Okay, well, I guess you're not coming to lunch with us. See you later. Like, you know, like, I don't. I couldn't. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But counting always. I'm sure if my mother did that to me today, I'm, like, almost 29 years old, it would work on me. Mm-hmm. Mom, I'm sorry. You want to hear some more slacks?
I'd love to hear some more slacks.
Okay. So iRobot Eugene, this episode we're talking about, it features the first appearance of a character named Jenny Calendar. Bring it out! Bring Jenny out! Jenny, we
She's
love you!
She's on the podcast. Bring her out.
I know. Bring them out. Bring them out. She's like wearing, like, boxing gear. She's like, woo! and I'm wearing a t-shirt and I'm going, Jenny, I love you! Jenny!
She would not go on this podcast.
Oh, hell no.
Well, do you?
Jenny Calendar or the actress? Actor. I don't know. I'm sorry. Okay, I don't, what's with the actress?
The actor is super conservative now.
Oh! Wait, no. Jennifer, that really sucks.
These are things we can talk about, but like she doesn't, like to the degree that like she doesn't really acknowledge that she was on Buffy at all anymore because she's uncomfortable that it shows like paganism and witchcraft, like that level of conservative.
I have to go.
Yeah.
That's so devastating. Ew.
I know, but I still love Jenny Calendar.
Wow. Devastating. Don't eat your heroes, I guess.
Yum.
Jenny, you can leave. Just kidding. I love you, Jenny. That sucks. That really sucks.
Damper the mood.
I know. I'm literally like screaming for Jenny Calendar and you're like.
I mean, we can still love this character.
No. And I still will.
And we'll
God
still
knows.
Be excited about this character being on the show.
I love Jenny Calendar. And we'll talk about her as she develops as a character because I just really, I think Jenny Calendar is such an amazing character. But she wasn't always Jenny. They don't say her name. They just call her Miss Calendar in this episode. But spoiler alert, her name is Jenny. But initially, in this episode, while they were filming, her name was Nikki Calendar. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
But the reason they changed it is because... Oh, oops, stinky. Sorry.
The face I made was not because of Nikki. It's because my BO is so bad.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry. Continue while I apply deodorant.
I can smell you from here.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. I wish you guys could have seen that. I was so, I thought you were just really, like,
I was so crazy
that
her
name was
Nikki Calendar.
Nikki Calendar. Okay, golly. Reason that they changed Nikki Calendar to Jenny Calendar is because Nicholas Brennan went by Nikki at the time.
Oh.
So they were like, it would be too confusing if we would have like Nikki over here. Like, did they mean Nicholas? Did they mean Jenny Miss Calendar? So they changed it to Jenny Calendar, which I think was a good choice because Jenny Calendar, that's a good fucking name.
Nikki Calendar also. Solid B+.
Yeah. It's a passing grade. If you're listening and your name is Nikki Calendar, I'm so sorry. Consider changing it to Jenny. Just kidding. Alrighty. Okay. So in the library, Giles is listening to like a radio station about computer problems at the Vatican. And the announcer on the radio is actually Joss Whedon.
Oh.
Interesting enough. And this is the third episode of the whole series that doesn't feature any vampires, which I think is really cool. Like in this first season, they're like, I know it's called The Vampire Slayer. I'm literally freaking out, covered in cat hair. I know it's called Vampire Slayer, but don't you get it twisted. We are all ghouls, all demons, all the things. We're slaying them. Don't you worry. Like,
yeah, all are welcome.
Mm-hmm, all are welcome here. So I think that's cool.
And we'll kill you. Yeah.
Yep. And we will kill you. And this is just a fact about, you know, 27-year-old women in Hollywood. Despite playing teacher and student, the woman who plays Jenny Calendar and Charisma Carpenter, they were born 2 weeks apart. They're the same exact age.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
That's really insane. I mean, Charisma Carpenter, much love, looks like an adult woman at this school, but still, that is wild.
That is wild. All right, and those are your slacks. We don't even go to the bronze, so I can't play you my favorite jingle of ours, so.
I'm so sorry. Well.
Sorry. Maybe next week.
Maybe next week. Okay, I have a recap for you that I have not reread, and it's kind of long, so we're going to see how it goes. You ready?
Okay. Yes, Sam.
Previously on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. After scanning library books onto the school's online database, Willow gets a mysterious internet boyfriend, Malcolm. As Buffy and Xander worry about the identity of this e-suitor, Willow begins to become more distant and cut classes, while members of the computer club start attacking Buffy. Turns out, Willow's catfish is actually Moloch, an ancient corruptor demon, previously trapped in an ancient text, but released onto the internet once that text was scanned, where he is free to seduce computer nerds everywhere. Buffy goes to free Willow from Moloch, who has built himself a robo body, while Giles works to trap the demon back inside the text with the help of Jennifer Callender, the school's computer science teacher, and a techno-pagan. Ultimately, Moloch is defeated, Jenny Callender flirts with Giles, and we all learn a little lesson about being careful who we talk to online, because they could be an ancient Italian corruptor demon.
Mm-hmm. Amore.
And that's iRobot Eugene. Amore. Exactly. Amore.
He puts the bye in bitch, Moloch.
The buy in. Oh, you're right. He said, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care, man, woman, non-binary.
He's like, as long if you're as you're devoted, can, yeah, let's kiss.
Let's kiss. That first scene with the flashback when we're in Italy in like whatever year that is, the 1600s, I think. And he's talking, he's like, Carlo, do you love me? Mm-hmm. Much love to this actor. The actor who's playing Carlo. The expression on his face, he's doing like a little like,
yeah, like, that's I look when I'm devoted to.
Yeah, like I don't know really how.
Like,
would
how do you describe it?
How do you describe it? It's a visual cue. I'm sorry, everyone. Just imagine.
It's like looking up and
yeah,
a little,
his eyes are like a little too wide.
Yeah, like maybe they gave him the note of like mindlessly devoted. Mm-hmm. Like it's definitely like in awe, but also looking really silly. Like a tiny smile, big eyes.
I think the auditory equivalent is like, hey. Like that's very much what it's giving.
Hey, I've been there.
It's just so silly to me.
It is silly.
Wow.
Carlo, silly Billy.
Carlo. Okay, iRobot Eugene is an episode.
It's an episode.
You liked it more than me.
Well, damn. I was just thinking so much about all these people online who like flaunt their AI boyfriends.
And that's Moloch. If you have an AI
seriously,
boyfriend,
I'm
Moloch.
Yeah, that's actually a demon, you guys.
Okay, actually though, that is.
Yeah.
Continue your thought.
I was just like, you know, I feel like I have seen, I mean, I don't think I have anyone in my life who's doing this, but I've seen people online like literally, you know, I've seen the movie Her, but AI is, don't get it twisted, I hate AI. Like, I think pretty sinister and weird, mm-hmm. and like bad for the planet and bad for art and bad for your mind and staying up all night. People do. I see people online like boasting about it all the time where they're like, stayed up all night talking to my ChatGPT and we were flirting. It's like, okay, that can't be fucking good for you.
Yeah, that's so.
Go touch grass. That's actually
sick.
A demon.
That's actually a corruptor demon. No, for real. And this episode is very like old man yells at cloud with yeah. Giles being like, computers are evil. But then yeah. watching it, I was like, damn, he has a point.
No, seriously, I was like, wait, am I Giles?
Like him being like, because hearing him talk about, you know, Jenny Callender says like more mail was delivered electronically the last 2 years than in person. And he's like so yeah. horrified by that. And I'm like, okay, old man,
yeah.
like
yeah.
it's actually less wasteful to do email. But then his number one fear is like, I'm afraid that the technology is going to be able to manipulate people and people stop interacting with each other. And wait, Rupert Giles, you kind of have a point. Wait,
yeah, no, seriously.
You kind of were a prophet because that's exactly what's happening now.
Literally. And even like, I mean, you know, Buffy is like, why would you meet someone? Why would you be flirting with someone that you've like never met before? You don't know what he looks like. You don't know who he is. You don't know where, you know, where he's at. Like, this is not appropriate. And I mean, like, online dating is far more prevalent now. And God knows, like, I know people who like are in the gaming sphere and they meet people online and, you know, they make friends that way. But I think it just gets like so dicey in terms of, you know, especially like, I mean, I was growing up in the era of like Kick and like all of that, like faceless
like
chat rooms. Yes,
oh,
girl.
Was, yeah.
Yeah, but that too. But I mean, the Omegle chats as well. Like, I mean, I was, you know, all over that. And it wasn't, you know, learning about like online safety, like wasn't as much a thing when I was younger. And it is, I don't know. we should be smart about who we're talking to, and also at least talk to a peer of yours who lives 10 states away and not ChatGPT, Ricos.
I feel like this episode is kind of saying like technology can be used for good and it's inevitable that we're going to progress further and a lot of good stuff can happen with it, but be careful. It's also dangerous, which I think ultimately is the stance to take.
Yes.
Like we would not be having this conversation if technology had not continued progressing.
No, literally. I literally was like, Ian and I are online friends. Like we are doing this online. Yeah. We're talking to people online. Like this is.
Yes.
We're online friends.
I think what this episode has to say is good.
Yeah.
You know, technology can be used for good, but it can also be dangerous. So be careful. I just think every episode so far this season, not every episode, but most episodes has had like a lesson and it's like, hey, kids, do this. But it's told in like a campy, mystical way. So it doesn't feel as ham-fisted and it feels a little more fun. This is still campy and mystical. And he becomes a robot demon, and that's fun.
Very fun.
But this episode did feel more ham-fisted than the others to me.
Sure,
It felt corny, derogatory. And also, I don't know. This has been, I think, the most bored I've been so far this season with a Buffy episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
There's still fun to be had.
Yes.
But I wasn't eating it up as much as I was eating up like Teacher's Pet, which also has a very strong be careful message, but is so campy and silly that I was like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Also, something that's crazy to me is an epidemic at Sunnydale High School is where the fuck are all these kids speaking aloud as they type? Who does that?
No, what is that about? What is that about?
It would be so easy
to just do ADR.
Yes, to just film Allison Hannigan at the computer and then have it in voiceover.
Yeah.
But she, and then we see earlier Dave does the same thing. They are actively just speaking aloud as they type like an insane person.
No, listen, actually, my mother, when she texts, she's always like, headed to Chili's, be there in 20. What shoes are you wearing? And I'm like, Mom, stop.
Maybe?
I think it happens more often, but this is definitely a very theatrical and like full chest, full voice, full inflection. Like nobody gets me, you know?
Willow alone in the computer lab.
Yeah.
Being like, how did you know Buffy was kicked out of school?
And it's not even that, too. It's like, how did you know Buffy was kicked out of school? Like, she's having a conversation with the computer. And maybe that's the demon, though. Maybe that's the demon.
Mm. He possesses you to speak out loud as well.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And embarrass yourself in front of your computer class.
Yeah. This episode is such a time capsule, and that does...
Yeah.
That is points in its favor. Like when Moloch shows up on the computer screen and he's like, leave Willow alone. And it's like a 32-bit digitized version of himself.
It is awesome.
It does make me giggle. That is very, very silly and very funny. Yeah. And when he's watching Buffy through the webcam and it's also like a 32-bit super digitized view of Buffy.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
What did you like about it? I just think like, you know, I like that it was like very time capsule-y, you know, I think more, you know, especially at the time, I can't even imagine, you know, kids nowadays. I mean, even I was like 7 months old when this episode came out. Like I grew up with the internet, but it wasn't as like widely, you know, accepted, but also like social media was just becoming a thing when I was younger and people weren't talking about, at least to me, as much as they should have, being careful online. And so I do appreciate the, you know, the message of this episode. I understand what you're saying when it's a little more like, you know, ham-fisted, if that's the phrase you're using. I don't think I've ever heard this phrase other than from you. So I don't know if I'm using it correctly. Thanks for teaching me. but So I understand what you're saying, but I just thought it was really fun. And I also think, like, I really empathize with Willow in this episode too. So I thought the Willow stuff was really strong. I just, you know, I really feel for this girl. Like, she is pining for this boy, Xander, who, you know, won't give her the time of day in the way that she wants. Like, she never gets the romantic attention that she craves, you know, the connection. And when she starts to get it and all of her friends are like, okay, that's weird. She's like, okay, so what's weird about it? Like, that someone would like me? Or is it that like what's wrong here? Is it me? So I empathize with Willow a lot. I think it's really strong, a really strong Willow episode. I also think there were a bunch of moments that were like making me laugh. I also love Jenny Callender.
Oh yeah.
I love my techie girlfriend and my bookish boyfriend. I think they, oh my gosh, I love them. I love them. The tension there was just, I was eating it the fuck up. Yeah. I love Buffy undercover wearing the trench coat. She's like, when am I going to wear a trench coat and glasses? And then cut to her wearing a trench coat and glasses. I thought that was really funny.
Also, the concept of a techno-pagan,
yeah,
is so stupid in a good way.
Yeah.
It's very
stupid and positive.
And it does make sense, like Jenny Callender says, where she, like, if this is a world where magic is real, science didn't cure the magic. Like, there still would be magic, and the magic would adapt. There would be covens that are online chat rooms. So it makes sense, but it's also so dumb. And I love that.
Is it a real thing? Are there really techno-pagans, or did they, like, make up this phrase?
I think they probably made up the phrase. Techno-paganism, as described by Victoria Dos Santos, is a term encompassing a variety of practices and expressions related to contemporary paganism, popular culture, and spiritual pursuits in digital environments. So looks like they borrowed it.
Okay, great.
Trying to see like when it
came onto the scene.
Originally, techno-paganism referred to people that found shamanic altered states through techno music. Okay. Oh. And then it went on to be like people on with technology. Okay, so I don't think that Buffy created it, so shout out.
Shout out, that's awesome.
Shout out, techno-pagan. But her having her chat room, you know, spell casting circle, and it's
they're like these connecting pagans on a map.
Yes, and it shows the beams of the internet.
Of the magic, yes.
It's very fun, it's very silly. It's very fun. I also really love Jenny Callender. Wow, I love Jenny Callender. And I don't know, I might be being too hard on this episode. I'm going to be honest. It is so important to me that people like Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
That if people aren't like gelling with these message of the week episodes.
Yes.
I just want it to be known this isn't what the show is the whole time. Nope. Like, this is what season one is, and then it evolves into something else.
Yeah.
This has been, I do think, maybe not counting the pack. I don't know if I enjoyed the pack more or not, but I do think this is my least favorite one so far. But the show did set out to be like high school ills, social ills told through monsters of the week. So this is not really a step out of the ordinary. This is very much in the show's thesis statement. And especially at the dawn of the internet, a big worry, and frankly still a worry with the internet, is the people you're talking to could very well not be who they are. And I think it is a fun and silly way to do it, where instead of it being like, this is a creepy old man, it's this is an old... centuries old Italian demon who has been released
who's
into cyberspace.
For your devotion. Yes. I mean, I thought that was funny. And also, like, you know, I thought it was like kind of fun, like doing the spell onto the computer to trap him. I was like, okay, that's sick. That's awesome. And him being trapped in the mech suit. I was like, okay, this is sick. Mm-hmm. I thought it was fun.
Also, I mean, Giles, like, full passion,
full
reading the
screaming.
Spell,
he's like,
being like,
demon,
be sent back into the text. And then Jenny's just typing, be sent back into the text.
Yeah, and he's like,
text.
Like, it's actually with a K. It's with a K. I thought it was awesome. I understand what you're saying, though. Definitely not my favorite episode. Something that Trixie said in her Buffy like ranking, she ranked season one, I think.
She said it was like
her
favorite.
Coerced. No, her least favorite season? Yes.
Oh, girl. No, she loves season 7. That's what I'm saying.
She loves season 7. Yes. Trixie recommends when she tells people to watch season 1 that you can just watch the first two episodes, Angel, and then skip to Prophecy Girl. These episodes are to set up the vibe of the show. They're still finding their footing, and they are still showing us that it's teenage problems through monsters, like you said. But I understand what you're saying in terms of you want people to vibe with Buffy, and they might not vibe with these Monster of the Week episodes, but they could potentially vibe with season-long arcs later in the TV show. And then I was going to say, Trixie says you can skip these episodes. Like they're basically inconsequential for what you need to know about this show. Now, listen, I have always felt this way. I skip the fuck around when I personally do rewatches of Buffy. When I sat down to watch this episode, it was halfway through. I had to bring it back because I just stopped it to like move on to something else. But, you know, sitting down to watch them specifically and intentionally, I am enjoying it.
Yeah,
you know, as a casual watcher, it's not, I can see how it might not be too fun. I have literally felt not too fun about it in the past. So, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I love that Jenny Calendar. I love Willow. I think Buffy is such an amazing friend. I love her. I love Giles. Even like Xander is really cute in this episode. I was having fun.
God forbid a girl has fun. No, it's definitely not terrible. It's just...
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm not... In the words of Fritz, I'm not jacked in to this episode.
I'm jacked in. I'm jacked in.
I'm jacked in. Sick. Girl, he was jacking something.
Yeah, jacking something.
I don't... Who in the history of the world has described being online as being jacked in? Now, they may not have invented the phrase techno-paganism, but they did invent jacked in, because I've never heard that before.
And it didn't stick like Google it. It didn't stick like Google it. I'm jacked in.
I'm jacked in.
It was giving jacked in. Ew, and the way he was saying it, too.
Carving an M into his arm. Crazy.
Ugh. Hey. It was giving like like in The Social Network when Justin Timberlake goes, no, he's like locked in. I think he says he's locked in about Mark Zuckerberg. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Andrew Garfield comes in and like smashes his computer, but it's like, oh no, don't worry. And it stopped. He's jacked in. Like, don't fuck with him. He's jacked in.
He's jacked in. Fritz. Let's talk about Fritz, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Fritz.
He is my least favorite kid in school. This kid is an asshole. Before he was possessed by a demon, he was an asshole.
Seriously, when he, first of all, he gets like so passionate.
Yeah, he's like, the written technology word is obsolete.
Yeah.
Fritz, and hate your ass.
He says to Giles, if you're not jacked in, you're not alive. And then like, can't even stand to look at Giles anymore.
Yeah.
Stands up, leaves I'm the out. Library. Crazy, crazy pants.
I hate this guy.
Yeah.
He is like the perfect lackey for this demon, you know? Like, Malik really lucked out in finding this total asshole.
Which, once again, this episode feels like old man yells at cloud. But then I'm like, okay, actually, maybe they were so onto something.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh yeah, this demon was in the internet and it made Fritz turn into a psychopath. But then I'm like, oh no, people are radicalized by the internet constantly.
Oh my God.
And there is a huge epidemic of young boys becoming extremely far right because of the internet. So you know what?
Oh my God.
You were onto something, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. They are jacked in and it is bad.
And if you're not jacked in, you're not alive. And they said,
Andrew Tate.
Literally. And he said, the written word is obsolete. Let's burn books.
Yeah. No, that's what's crazy is watching this episode. My knee jerk reaction is, oh my gosh, this is so out of touch. This is so the adults who are like, if you play video games, you're going to become a murderer.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, oh, but looking at the way society is going.
Yeah, I feel like there's some truth to that.
Technology is actually, and too much internet is actively destroying
your fucking humanity. Phones are poisoning your minds.
Yeah. So, hey, Rupert Giles, Maybe you're onto something.
No, honestly, the way he was talking, I was like, I hate to be this old man, but I feel like I am turning into one. I think especially young boys are, the internet works really hard to radicalize them and really hard to, like, I don't know, bring them into a pipeline that's really scary. It's really scary. I'm jacked in. If you're not jacked in, you're not alive.
If you're not jacked in, you're not alive. Also, another Fritzism. when his inner Dordolano jumps out and he asks Moloch, what do I do? And Moloch says, kill her about Buffy. And his response is, party.
No, he said party. Okay, I loved that. Okay, no, that was so fucking funny. I'm so glad you brought that up because I forgot about it. Party. That is so, and that's, oh my God, that's 1997. Like, that's so fucking funny. Party. No,
Trailblazer.
No, Fritz. Seriously.
Honestly, Party. He's despicable and he's evil. He is a fun one-off villain crony who then gets killed by the villain.
I love
it. He's jacked in. He says party. Hey, he's a future Andrew Tate. And then we have Dave, the other crony, who Dave is the crony. You know, we see Fritz, as you said, before he gets corrupted, and he's already...
He's pre-jacked in, dude.
Yeah, he's pre-jacked in. He's got 1 foot out the door already.
Oh, yeah.
Dave, when we first meet him, is very nice. And so Dave is the one who has, like, an inner battle.
Yeah.
And then can't bring himself to kill Buffy. And that was genuinely, to me, shockingly dark. These season one episodes...
It, like, hurt my stomach. It was really dark.
Yeah. These season one episodes tend to be very silly. And any deaths that happen are either people like Fritz, who it is
like
he was...
one-off killed by the bad guy. Yeah.
And, like, he sucks anyway. Or the deaths are, like, a little silly. The Dave death was genuinely...
No, it hurt. It was
to jog
sad.
Anyone's memory, he is like, I can't kill Buffy. She didn't do anything. This isn't right. And then Moloch kills him and stages it to look like he took his own life. Mm-hmm. And it genuinely is like, and I mean, the show doesn't treat it like it's silly, but it genuinely is like, so
it's really serious.
It's so such a surprising turn. It's such a disturbing turn. And then they immediately move past it. Buffy finds the body and then is like, Dave is dead, but something suspicious is about it. And then they immediately move on as if nothing happened. And I
that actually
did not
made me really uncomfortable.
It. Yeah. I love that.
Like, even I feel so, I feel protective of Buffy. Like, she's a real person. And I just felt that it was really sad. Like, they type out his entire note to his parents and it really hurt my stomach. And then they have Buffy. Oh, it made me sick. This is really sad. They had Buffy find him and she is, you can tell, like, it rocked her. Like, you know, it's not like, and you know, she has the perspective of there are outer forces here that are making this happen. It's not what it may seem, but it still, like, doesn't change the, and Sarah Michelle Gellar does such a beautiful job at holding all those layers, but it's in the text that it kind of bothers me, where they get to the library and she is, like, very physically shaken. She looks, like, really upset. And then Giles even is like, well, shit. I'm sure it's not, you know, like, and it's like, okay, well, tell that to his parents, tell that to his family, tell that to Buffy, who just witnessed this. Like, that's, I don't know. It was not a shining moment of this episode. It made me actually really uncomfortable.
I kind of feel like you can't have it both ways. You can't have your cake and eat it too.
No, yeah.
I'm so cool with the deaths on this show being campy, silly, and not meaning anything. But then that one is treated just a little bit serious, but then we move past it. And I'm like, okay, so...
Okay, so what's what?
Either it has to be fully serious.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yes.
Either it has to be fully... Oh, that's my alarm. That scared. That scared me so bad.
It's Malik.
It's Malik on my phone. Hear me talking about him. No, either the death has to be, like, treated with sincere levity. I mean, with sincere gravity, or it needs to be treated with levity. And this weird, like, half and half and never going back to levity. Weird. And now in the next scene, Buffy's like in a cheetah print trench coat punching a robot. It was a little weird.
It's jarring.
it's a little weird.
No, I so agree. Not my favorite part.
Yeah.
They're also like, we live in Sunnydale. It's not too weird to have people die by circumstances they can't explain or things like that are, you know, things are happening in this town and everyone is kind of cued into it, you know? Like this one is just like, I think they're trying to say something. I don't know. Just like needlessly really violent.
I think likely, and this is just me and I was not in the writer's room. I famously was almost 2 years old. Not old enough to write yet. But I think they're trying to say, because, you know, this episode is really trying to be like, here's what the worries are with the internet. The worries are you can fall in love with someone, but it's not who you think you're talking to. Shout out Catfish on MTV. Mm-hmm. The fear is it can radicalize you. Shout out Fritz. And then the other fear is that the internet will horribly isolate you and cause you like deep mental health. And so that's, I think, the Dave storyline is someone who their connection with the internet, which is a genuine problem. So like, I understand why it's in the episode. I don't know if I love how it was handled in the episode, but like, I don't think they were just doing it for shock value. I think they genuinely are saying, and here's another thing you need to be careful about is that it's going to isolate you from the people around you until your mental health deteriorates.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna be so honest, I like don't have a lot to say about this episode. You have convinced me I appreciate it more than I did. It is pretty, it's an open and shut case, you know?
Yeah.
Moloch is the dangers of the internet, Jenny Calendar is the pros of the internet. And we're giving you both in one episode. We're saying this thing is here to stay and it can be used for good. It can also be used for evil. So
let's be careful.
Exactly.
Yeah. I will say, just to shout out some more moments that I thought were fun. I love at the end of the episode when Willow is, you know, commiserating with her friends and she's like, I am so stupid. Like the one boy who I gave a crap about, like, was literally trying to trick me and he was a demon and he really got my ass. Like, I feel so stupid. And then her friends, like Xander and Buffy's like, are you kidding? Like, the only guy I've ever cared about ever is a freaking vampire. Like, I totally get you. You're not stupid. And then Xander goes, yeah. And then the teacher I was trying to get with 2 weeks ago, she was a praying mantis. Like, and then they were like, oh crap. Like, we are really a funny bunch. Like, it is the funniest part of the episode to me. And then just, they didn't even play the music at the end of the episode. They just cut to, like, created by Joss Whedon. I was like, oh my God, I love these kids. It really made me giggle.
I also think of that ending. I forgot that ending was this episode, but that is an ending that I think of constantly with the show. It's one of the most iconic ones in my mind, which is Buffy lightheartedly saying, we'll just have to accept that none of us will ever have a healthy, happy relationship. And then laughing and then slowly the laughter dying and then them all just sitting in silence. And that is kind of the vibe of the show.
Like, yeah, it is.
From here on out, the show is, oh my gosh, so silly and we're laughing and isn't this ridiculous? But underneath there's an undercurrent of sadness and the dark truth of none of their lives are ever going to be normal lives and they will always have hardship and tragedy and loss. Shoot.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about this yesterday. It's really funny. Like, the more you learn about the world, I feel like the harder it is to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I see these kids and they have this, you know, secret essentially that they're carrying on their backs that, you know, there are demons out there. There are people who like want to do harm to them and their loved ones, and how that knowledge really weighs on them, and how it will, like, once your eyes are open to like the Hellmouth and everything, it's really difficult to put that away. You know, it's hard. I don't know.
Yeah. It is the curse of knowledge. Speaking of cursed knowledge, how did this old ass book end up in a high school library? I know that Sunnydale like is the Hellmouth, so I'm sure some demon worshiper somewhere put it there on purpose. But what an extensive collection this high school library has.
I know.
That they would have that book in it.
I know. I wonder, because it was the monks in the beginning who put Malik in the book.
Uh-huh.
And were they sending it to Sunnydale, Giles? Yeah. Were they sending it to Giles, who like is like, kind of...
That was in the 1600s.
It was in the 1600s. So it's just being passed around from high school to high school.
Yeah, it's going from school district to school district. Yeah. No, I think it's just...
That's such a funny question. I don't know.
All kind of evil gets drawn to hell mouths. So yeah. I'm sure that's the actual explanation.
Yeah.
But it's just funny to me. Like, I think of my high school library, even if the book wasn't cursed, like, we would never have had a book like that.
Ow. I mean, I live in Utah. We ban books here.
Anyways, a shorter episode. Sorry, I robot you, Jane. You know, but Jenny Calendar's here, and that's what's important.
And thank God she is.
Yeah.
Just to quickly shout out, Buffy wears some slay outfits in this episode.
Yeah. Tell us about them.
Charisma Carpenter, I wish she was there. Mm-hmm. I just mean like her leopard like trench coat thing. She's got like this titty shirt and this like, you know, her classic like black mini skirt plus go-go boots. I wish I dressed like Buffy Summers. She is so awesome. And I love her. I could. And you could. What the hell is stopping me?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm asking. Well, also, Jenny Calendar being flirty, flirty, flirty. Mm-hmm. At the very end of the episode, Giles gives her back an earring. And she says something to him about like, you're pretty old fashioned, aren't you? And he says, well, I don't dangle a corkscrew from my ear. And she says, that's not where I dangle it. And walks away. Is that?
Is wiener?
Well, I was asking if that earring he gave her back is not actually an earring.
It's a belly button ring. What?
I mean, it could be.
She has her clit pierced. That's what you mean?
I mean, it more likely is a belly button ring.
That's not where I dangle it.
Hey, Jenny Calendar.
Hey, maybe. I honestly didn't get a good look at it.
I also do love the concept of, and this is something I really like about.
Ew, if you had a clit piercing and it came out in the library.
I know, no. While you're fighting, while you're fighting a demon. Girl, what's going on?
What's going on?
This is something I appreciate about the Buffyverse, which is there's only one slayer is called. Mm-hmm. But there are subsets of other people who are aware of demons and are kind of doing what they can. Mm-hmm. And that this is the first hint we ever get of that. And that is something we will see more as the show goes on. I love the idea of there's another teacher at this school who knows about demons and is a techno-pagan and is just like, doing her part in the best way that she can. She's jacked in. She's fighting them online.
Yeah.
I think this show has such good world building. And that is one of the aspects about it that I appreciate. Like yes, of course, we're told that people are going to rationalize demons if they see them. But still, like, with how many demons there are, some people inevitably are going to be like, okay, so this is a real thing that we need to deal with.
Yeah, like maybe like Star Wars, how like some people are like clued into the Force, like other people are like clued into like the forces of darkness here. Like they kind of, they're jacked in, they get it. They get what's up. Mm-hmm. I love that too. I think that's really cool. And also I was just like, I was interested to see like, you know, the map of Jenny's coven. Yeah. Like I like they were like all around the world. I thought that was really fun. Like, you know. Where did they meet? I have questions.
And I genuinely, I think it's in a coven chat room.
I love that.
I think that's the vibe I was getting. Yeah.
That's awesome. Did you ever have like an online?
I literally was going to ask what your chat room experiences were.
Oh, you don't want to know.
Oh, now I do want to know.
Well, I mean, I was a young girl in the 2000s. Like I probably have very similar experiences to everyone else my age. You know, I was talking to people online. I was telling them, I remember being like 11 or like 10 or 11 and always saying I was 14 because that felt so old. And then people telling me that they were also 14 and then me catching a vibe later that like things aren't what they seem. I mean, I was lucky. Nothing too crazy ever happened, but I mean, I was chatting with crazy people all the time. I was also like a pretty lonely kid. So the internet was definitely a place that I like hung out all the time. And I was like on like Kick all the time. I was on Stardoll. I was meeting people on Tumblr. I was like signing up for pen pal groups on Twitter, like in 2011. I remember I had this one, oh my God, I'm telling you. I had this one pen pal who her and I, we were like Instagram and Facebook friends and like on Twitter, we like, you know, became friends over a couple of years. And we would like just mess, we would send each other letters, however often we wanted to. It was like, you know, for a couple of years. But I remember her and I got in a fight on Twitter about reproductive rights when I was like a teenager. And it was really, 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 really bad. And like, I was like, oh my God, I'm losing this friend because she thinks abortion is a sin. And I'm like, I just can't vibe with that. But I also remember she was big into 21 Pilots. So now every time I think about 21 Pilots, I'm like, well, they don't believe in abortion, so I can't fuck with them. But I'm like, no, I'm just thinking about this girl that was my friend.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I mean, I was doing all the things. I was doing all the things. What about you?
I've told some of this before. I was in that on MySpace. This is a comment on MySpace that it would be like, we all make profiles. It was cosplaying online. Where it was.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I remember there was like a Wicked group where they were like, all the characters are already taken. We need a Madame Morrible. If you're not going to be Madame Morrible, find another group.
Yeah.
Was in a Disney one where I was the Mad Hatter.
Yes.
And it was like, everyone, like someone was Friar Tuck from Robin Hood. Like it was everyone. But
and you
that,
like role play as these characters?
Like, yeah, it'd just be, you know, you would post on each other's profiles as if you were the character, but me and Alice ended up kind of becoming friends. Thankfully, I do believe that Alice, because I was, sorry if my parents are listening, I was about like 12. Mm-hmm. And I do, as an adult looking back, I'm pretty sure that Alice was also like 13, like around my age.
Yeah.
Nothing sketchy ever happened. Mostly we just talked about Kingdom Hearts a lot and how she loved Kingdom Hearts and I wasn't allowed to have a PlayStation and I wanted one so bad so I could play Kingdom Hearts. But I was a part of like that group, but I mostly just interacted. Like Alice was the only one that I messaged privately and everyone else would be like, I would be like, happy on birthday on their MySpace profile.
I love that.
And then I was big on the Neopets chat rooms.
Neopets, yeah.
And Neopets were the ones where, you know, they knew that their target audience was all kids. So they would have a bunch of banned words and the words included like any number whatsoever because they were like, we don't want you trying to share your ages with each other.
Yeah.
But I did have a friend on Neopets that I later found out was like 19. But she thankfully was one of the good ones, like found out that I was, I'm not kidding, 10 years old at the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's Neopets.
And she, which also like, you're 19 on Neopets. What did you expect? And she immediately
chat
was,
room for children.
Yeah. She immediately, I think, was like, this is actually kind of weird. And so then it became a very like older sister, younger brother relationship. And she also like stopped really messaging me at all. So shout out to her, real one.
Yeah.
And then I was big on, did you ever play VMK? It was like Club Penguin, but you were at Disney World.
Yes. You could like be Disney World. Like I'm imagining like Goofy running around like a fountain. Okay.
You're thinking of Toontown, I think.
Okay. I'm thinking of Toontown.
VMK was Club Penguin in that same way where it's just like a picture and you're walking around the picture. Whereas Toontown, it's kind of like you can rotate the camera. VMK is like, here's the picture and your avatar is just like walking around the picture. And you just were at a VMK stands for Virtual Magic Kingdom. You were just at Disney World.
And I guess I was not a Disney kid as much as you were.
I was a massive, the VMK, yeah. It got so bad that my sister and I, our parents had to write out a schedule of when we were allowed to play VMK because we got in so many fights about it.
With your sister?
Yes.
Or with your parents? Okay.
My sister.
Okay.
My parents were being the mediators that they were like, okay, enough's enough. I remember my VMK character's name was Lola Blue. Shout out Lola Blue. And it was the same deal where they had a bunch of banned words, but people found ways to talk around them. So it would be like eight would be like A-T-E. And then instead of three, you'd say tree. And you'd say one, like W-O-N. Six, you'd say like sick with an S. Like people had ways. And then I remember a big one was people would be like, ew, are you gray for gay? Ew, are you gray? Ew,
are you gray? You're gray.
Ew, you're gray. And it was the same, like you couldn't say any locations. And so I'll be straight up. I'm pretty sure tell people how old I was. But I wasn't ever saying anything beyond that. But like people would have ways to like talk about locations. And I remember I had a family on VMK.
A family.
There was a girl.
Oh, sure.
You would like sometimes because you would.
I feel like that was huge when we were tweens. It's like, that's the mom of our friend group. I'm the daughter. Yeah.
So it would be like you would have your own room on VMK that you could then open up to be like anyone could come in if you wanted to. And then you could close it and kick them all out. And so people would open their rooms to the internet at large and title it like Family Center. And you'd go and find someone and be like, do you want to be my wife? And she'd be like, yep. And then you'd add each other as friends. And then you go to an adoption agency. And it was honestly, in retrospect, creepy.
Because adoption agency at VMK?
Well, because it would just
where
be,
in Magical Kingdom is that? Or Magic Kingdom is
it
that?
It would be someone's room that they would title adoption agency. And you'd go and they'd be like, if you want to adopt, stand on this side of the room. If you want to be a kid, stand on this side of the room. And the kids, this is straight up creepy. The kids would type like, goo goo gaga, creepy. Anyways, I had a family on VMK. And it would be like...
Who were you in the family?
I was the dad, of course.
Of course.
I had my beard and my son. And we would like go on family outings and just like talk as if we were... It never got...
You didn't tell them you're gray?
I didn't tell him I was gray. I didn't know I was gray at the time. But it is weird in the sense that, like, I didn't know these people, but it never got anything beyond, like, kids playing house.
Yeah,
it was just like, here we are, like, son, do you want to go on this ride that we can't actually go on because this is the internet? It was just, like, shit like that. And then I remember specifically one day I was like, I'm actually sick of having a family, so I blocked all of them. I don't want to do this anymore. I just like blocked them. And like a week later, I was just walking around VMK and ran into
and they found you?
And she was like, wait, Lola Blue? And I immediately left. I went out for a pack of cigarettes and I never came back. She's like, your son still asks about you.
That's so funny.
So that's that. Those were my Moloch experiences growing up.
I love that.
I didn't do a lot of chat rooms. It was all of my chat rooms were like Neopets and VMK, where it was like extremely strict what you were allowed to say.
No, yeah, I hear you. And I was like meeting people and then giving them my phone number. Like I had no, I'm telling you. I remember in sixth grade, I was talking with this boy and he and I, we were talking. I think we must have met on Kick or like Yik Yak. No, Yik Yak was anonymous. No, somewhere. But I remember he was like from kind of around me. I can't imagine. I literally couldn't tell you. And he and I were like boyfriend and girlfriend, but we just texted all day long. And my dad, I remember he was like, Lena, you've texted like something crazy, like 20,000 times this month. And it was like when we were paying for texting, he's like, you're done. But I remember, this is so funny. He broke up with me and it was oh my God, so devastating. You have no idea. But I remember like a week prior, we would just like ask, you know, stupid questions. We weren't doing anything. I got the vibe that this person was also young. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But we were messaging and I was like, I asked like, do you like vampires? And I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I said, do you like vampires? And he went, no. And then we moved on. I remember when he broke up with me, I was like, you know, the other day when you said you didn't like vampires, I was like, that showed me that you really don't know who I am anyway. And then we never talked again.
Oh!
And look at me now. I host a vampire podcast.
Hell yeah.
And he's turn probably, your pain into art.
And he's probably single and sad somewhere.
No, seriously.
Damn.
I can't remember where I met him, but I remember I texted way too much that month, like those months. It's off.
Damn. Well, kids, be careful who you talk to online, genuinely.
Serious. No, for real.
It's dangerous out there.
It is.
It's dangerous out there. I remember when I was in sixth grade, which in retrospect, I'm like kind of slay that they made us do this. In our computer science class, shout out Miss Callender, one of the assignments was we played this computer game that was about a kid meeting someone online and then getting kidnapped by that person. And it was like, frankly, it was scary, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like sensationalized in any way.
Sure.
It was, we were playing as the detective trying to solve the case. And so
whoa,
it was very like interesting and fun. And I feel like it, you know, we're 12. I feel we were mature enough to handle it. And it did make me be like, holy shit, I'm never giving my personal information to anyone online ever. Like you would read, and it was based on a real case. And you would like read the transcripts between this kid and the person they were talking to and see like how the person would talk to them and make them feel really safe with them and all the stuff. And you didn't realize they had nefarious purposes. And frankly, I still remember it. Great teaching method, because one, it was fun. So we all like wanted to do it. And then all of us were like, holy shit, that is terrifying. I'm going to stop talking to people online.
That's really interesting.
Hey.
I'm sure that like really like to do that as a kid is probably very informative. Is that the word I'm looking for? Informative, formative, maybe.
Yeah.
Like just formative in your like internet experience. Cause I mean, I talk with my friends all the time and I'm like, I feel like I had too much access to the internet as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I had like a computer in my room. I like, you know, had an iPod. I was, you know, my parents, like, I was lucky I had a really good relationship with my parents that I always felt like if I was doing, the one rule when we were kids was, if you feel like you can't tell me, then you probably shouldn't be doing it. So that really, you know, I feel lucky in that, you know, I never got to like meeting anyone in real life or, you know, sending anything because I was like, I wouldn't feel comfortable telling my mom this, so I'm probably not going to do it. Yeah. And you know me.
Yeah.
If I am not following a rule, my body's on fire. So, yeah. But yeah, seriously, you guys, you know this. We grew up with the internet, but be careful out there. And don't have an AI boyfriend.
Oh my gosh.
That costs so much water, you guys. And also, go touch grass. You can find a real boyfriend, promise. Like, you're awesome.
Beyond like destroying the planet and rotting your brain, it's also just fucking embarrassing. You're cool and you can find a real person who likes you, not a robot who has been programmed to like you.
Yeah. And like that's weirdo behavior.
Yes. That's the thing. I think we need to
go to your local library.
I think we need to move
and look
on
lost in the romance section. Someone will find you.
I think we need to move on from AI being evil because it's not working. It is, but it's not working. Yeah. And I think we need to double down on using AI is literally fucking embarrassing and you're a loser if you do it. We need to start publicly shaming people.
I like it.
I genuinely think that will be more effective. Anyways, let's do worst part, best part of this episode.
Worst part, best part.
Tell me your worst part.
My worst part is, I didn't write one down. I mean, I didn't love this episode, but I think probably I understand why the Dave stuff is in there. I understand what they're saying with it. It's just not treated with enough levity or enough gravity. It is in a weird in between that feels uncomfortable. And that's my worst part.
No, I so agree. I'm not even going to pick another worst part because I do think that is the worst part of this episode.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. It has a place in this episode because it is a scary thing about the internet is the way that the isolation can, you know, take feelings you have and, you know, turn them against you. I don't know. Like, you know, I don't have like a concise way of saying this, but I do think it is a scary thing about the internet and about, you know, being alone that, you know, you forget to find community. Not forget, but I'm not saying this in a nice way. So I agree. I honor its place in this story and I do think it's important to tell, but it just, I don't think it's handled the best. Yeah. And I don't need to see what it showed me. I don't need to see Buffy Summers feel that way about it and then also have Giles like nearly joke to her face about it. Like it's not appropriate.
Yeah.
Now the other direction, tell me your best part.
My best part is we get introduced to Jenny Calendar and I think she's cool as shit. And just
bring them out.
Even if she was a one-off character, she's fun in this episode. I really like her. So shout out Jenny Calendar. What's your best part?
My best part is the end when the teens are commiserating about their terrible dating life and how their lives are never going to be the same. And it's really funny, but also true. But it just really made me laugh. And I also think Xander's kind of, I hate to say this, you guys, don't tell anyone I said this. I think he's kind of sweetie in this episode. Don't hold it against me. Sorry.
If I said that Xander was kind of a sweetie, would you hold it against me? Okay. Really? Something we forgot to do last week. Let's do our kill count. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, so last week in Angel, we lost count on 1, 2, 3. The three. Goodbye.
Bye,
and then,
three.
Of course, we lost Queen Mother Darla. The loss of the season.
In the arms of the angel, where you are. Mm-hmm. I don't know that song very well. Sorry, my Sarah McLachlan.
Buffy Wiki also says the cockroach that got squished. I'm gonna be real.
Oh my land!
Can't start counting bugs. If it's not as big as a she-mantis, it's not counting.
I got love for bugs, but we don't know.
Yeah, but interest of a kill count.
Did we count the pig?
We did count the pig.
Okay.
Good. Okay. We can retroactively take Herbert off the list if you want to.
No, leave Herbert.
Okay. In this episode, we lost Carlo.
Carlo. I'll miss you, Carlo.
I'll miss you, Carlo. We lost Dave. We lost Jackton Fritz. And I believe that's it because the other guy we never see die. Right? Oh, and then Moloch fully dies. She he doesn't get trapped in a book again. He fully is dead. So yeah. Moloch as well. But the other, like the scientist at the CRD, as far as we know, survived the incident.
Yeah, they survived. They probably just like got pushed around.
Well, he's like there with Fritz, you know, kidnapping Willow. So we all lost 4 this episode. So that brings our master kill count up to 30. 30. Dirty 30.
It was giving like, this is my impression of a French person. Like,
well, happy kill count, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Love you, everyone.
I wrote about you, Jane.
What's the next episode?
The next episode is Puppet Show. So join us next week for Puppet Show.
No spoilers.
A very special person is in that episode. Anyways, tune in. You can join our Patreon if you want to. Patreon.com/recoveringgleek. Get some bonus content. We have bonus episodes every month. We also have videos of the podcast that have little pre-shows to them.
Ian makes a E face, you can see what he looks like when
see
he does
my
it.
Carlo impression. We also do little like pop culture, us talking about, so far, mostly Survivor.
Mostly Survivor. But other things that we're doing.
Other things as well. And if you become a best friend of the podcast, you get a little shout out, which is going to happen right now.
And it's my turn.
Take it, Lena.
Hi, everyone. everyone. Hey, this is a Patreon shout out for you. I love the patrons so much. And thank you all so much for being patrons. Anyway, thank you all for being patrons, genuinely. You all make me so happy. So here is a little shout out for you. All right, here we go. Thank you to Olivia, Morgs, Ida, Jake, Jack, excuse me, Hannah, Karis, Elizabeth, Depressed Bubbles, Eden, Nikki, Brianna, JP, Tanya, Catherine, Rachel, Drew, Christine, Kayleen, Blake, Rachel, Allison, Megan, Audrey, Megan, Alexander, Kylie, Dustin, Azza, Jaden, Paul, Julia, Vicky, Keely, Jasmine, Willie, Danica, Shalane, Diagonal, Toast, and Kay, Reagan, Peepy, Poo Poo, Josette Lowe, and Joe, Madeline, Alani, Elise, Blanton, Alice, Paige, and Nadia, Nicole, and Abby, and Kristen, Astoria, and Eileen, Mallory, Hamantha, Rebecca, Ari, Marissa, Taylor, and Carlin, and Frankie, Margaret Despina, Emily, Phoebe, Aria, Eva, Haley, Emily, Michelle, and Jacqueline, and I can't scroll anymore, Elsie, Laszlo, Ray, Emma, Steph, Muppet Baby Cat, Charlie, Kelsey, Thomas, Chucho, Brittany, Kenzie, Michael, Katie, Elizabeth, and Freddie. Oh my God, I didn't even know I was going to sing like that, but I did. Love you all so much, genuinely. You all make my heart so happy. Thank you for supporting us. Love you, bye. Back to the episode.
I did a good job this week. Thanks.
Hell yeah, you did. And then I think likely if like an email comes in, we'll put it in here.
Yeah.
But also there could not be an email. Who knows?
Who knows?
Hi, robots. We're Jane. Is that anything?
I think that's everything.
Thank you. We're here to... Oh, first of all, sorry my mic quality. Leon and I are switching, and now I'm going to apologize for my mic quality. You guys, we're doing our best.
Yeah, we've been podcasting for 5 years. And yeah, every day is a school day, brother. We learn all the time.
We're actually going to pretend that we haven't and that this is our first podcast and be like, you guys, we're only a few weeks in. Okay, We're trying our best.
Yeah, seriously. This is episode seven? Come on.
It's eight, but I like your attitude. But we're here to read...
It was a guess.
We're here to read emails about episode seven, which was Angel. So here we go.
Let's do it. Okay, who should we start with?
Oh, wait. No, it's so crazy. My mic quality isn't bad on this one. It's bad next week on Puppet Show. So that's a spoiler.
Preview.
I apologize in advance. My mic quality is a little ass. Gird your loins next week for Puppet Show. Hey. All right. And now let's read some emails.
Let's start with JP, shall we?
We shall. We asked and JP answered. We said, all of you first time watchers, did you guess that Angel was a vampire? And JP sent us an email with the subject line, Angel is a vampire? Here's what the email says. You guys! I started watching the Angel episode and was getting ready to send you all an email about how I'm an Angel apologist and I don't understand why you both are so wary of him. And then his vampire face came out. I'm shook. I'm devastated. I'm so invested in the plot. I get now why you guys don't seem thrilled about Angel as a character. I'm also intrigued by his spinoff now, but refuse to watch until I finish all of Buffy. I'm about to start your Angel episode, so I may have follow-up thoughts, but I needed to scream into the void about his development, so thank you for listening. Your best friend of the podcast, always, JP. I am thrilled to get this. I'm thrilled to experience someone's reaction to this in real time. And, you know, what's crazy, JP, I actually think Angel being a vampire is, like, something that's, like, cool and kick-ass about it. Exactly. That's, like, what I like most about him.
No, me too.
It is the overwhelming, which I mean, this is linked to his vampirism. He's just like, so woe is me. Cause he's like, I've killed so many people. You don't understand. Yeah. I'm just like, dude, it happened. The past is the past. It's a brand new day. Let's smile. Let's have some fun. Let's giggle.
Let's see a smile, Angel.
You'd be a lot prettier if you smiled.
Yeah. Literally. I hate to see a pretty face like that. Exactly. Not smiling.
Yeah.
David Boreanaz.
Maybe try and lift up those cheeks a bit. Come on.
Literally.
But I love to hear this.
When we got this message, we immediately messaged each other and we were just so excited to see that you know, this reveal is so effective because it feels effective even as people who knew that he was a vampire. So I'm genuinely, you didn't know?
I mentioned this in the episode. I didn't know. And I was gagged.
Okay, I love. Well, then I'm speaking for myself. Like, I, you know, it feels effective for a person who knew
he was
a vampire. But I love this. Genuinely, I was so excited to read this message.
Yeah,
and thank you for letting us share in that joy with you.
When this email came in, I screenshotted it, sent it to Lena, and said, this is what we do it all for.
Makes it all worth it. No, seriously, JP, thank you. Shall we read Jasmine's email next?
Hi, Lean and Ian. It's Jasmine, they, them, from New Jersey. I loved the new Buffy Pod episode. This is truly the perfect choice. One thing that you brought up was how Angel is the foundation for many of our contemporary vampires. It's one of my favorite aspects of Angel's character among his many flaws. While his brooding nature is so Edward, the guys from Vampire Diaries, etc., etc., I do want to bring up a clear influence for Angel's brooding romantic vampire archetype. While Angel is definitely the visual reference for many vampires today, his broodiness is a descendant of Louis de Pontillac, you guys, I tried my best, from Interview with the Vampire.
Honestly, good job.
Hopefully you've already engaged with this beautiful piece of media, but the story follows the depressed, romantic, existential Louis, Angel, and the flashy, reckless blonde Lestat, Spike. The book by Anne Rice has a campy movie that lends itself to Buffy, but the newer TV series is fantastic, and if you haven't watched it, I would highly recommend. Once you consume enough foundational vampire media, it's so easy to see how all of these stories connect. Since falling down this vampire hole, it's been a pleasure seeing how Buffy is both influenced and influential to the wider world of vampire media. I know it's early in the new pod adventure, but I hope you'll be able to get more into this cultural web that connects us all. Much love, Jasmine. Jasmine, the Madame Web reference is not missed and is very much appreciated.
It's iconic, yeah.
Her web connects all, her being Anne Rice.
Yeah, exactly. Have you seen the movie Interview with the Vampire?
Oh,
you should say it! Have you seen the TV show?
No, but...
Okay, well, did you read it?
I've read it.
Oh, you have?
Yes, I've read the book.
That's so random. I was like fully not allowed... I loved the movie growing up. To the point of I begged my mom to read it and she was like, fuck no, you cannot read this book. I had like no rules growing up and she said no Anne Rice.
I'm extremely curious to see the movie because I want to see how the book is like so queer.
Yeah.
That I'm curious how queer the movie is. If it is all subtext or if they ever go like... A lot of the book is like men saying I love you to each other, but you could be like, they mean as friends, even though like, no, they obviously don't. But they're fully like, I'm going to be straight up. There's a moment in the book where Armand has a boy, like a human boy that he keeps as a pet who like wants to be turned into a vampire. And Armand just like feeds on him every night, but doesn't drink enough blood so that the boy will die. And Armand is like, oh, have a snack off of my boy. And Louis like drinks from his neck and it talks about how the boy is fully hard the whole time. And I'm like, so that's not like subtextually gay. Like that's just straight up is gay. So I'm very curious to see the tone the movie takes. Your face right now is so interesting. Are you homophobic?
Yeah, homophobic. No, thanks, Mom, for not letting me. boy like a child.
It says boy, but I'm pretty sure he's like 19. Oh, he's not like 10.
That's different.
No.
Okay.
He's like 19.
Okay, well, in my mind, it was that. I'm like, I don't remember that from
a
movie.
No, he's like late teens, early 20s, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Well, I have not seen the TV show because famously, I don't have any of the streaming services that I need to have to watch all the good shows.
And I have heard that the TV show is straight up gay.
Is just
like, oh, it's straight up like Louis and Lestat are hooking up, which the book it like feels like they are. And the TV show is like, no, they are.
No, And I love that. I'm definitely like in the market to see it. I just need to like find a homie who's willing to let me be on their account or let me come over to their house. But from what I remember of the movie, it's mostly subtextual. Like, I think they do kiss, if I don't... I mean, It's been years since I've seen it, but they also kiss Kirsten Dunst in it too. Like,
are they kissing each other on the cheek or are they kissing on the lips?
No. Kirsten Dunst's first kiss ever was Brad Pitt.
On the, oh, that's a little crazy.
On the lips. Yeah. Hey. No, crazy. Anyways. No, crazy. I was obsessed with that movie growing up.
I want to see it.
I should watch it soon. I want to see it too. And I mean, like, I want to see the TV show. That's what I mean. I really liked the movie growing up. And also, you're so right. Like, this broody feeling, feeling sorry for himself vampire is so, it's so Louis. It's so Angel. It's so Edward. It's so, Stefan. Like, this web connects us all. And thank you for the call to action. I think we should keep talking about it. And that, like, the vampire webs that connect us all. I'm excited about that.
I think it's funny just how, like, there's no original ideas. That it's like, oh my gosh, Edward is such a copy of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But then, like, no, exactly like you're saying, Jasmine, Angel's clearly influenced by Louis. Where Louis, you know, for most of Interview with the Vampire is only drinking rat's blood because he can't bring himself to kill a human and feels so much guilt about killing humans. And is so like, woe is me. I'm such a scourge on this world because I'm a vampire. Very interesting book. Not at all what I expected. I had a very good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really intrigued to hear that you've read the book, but you haven't seen either of the adaptations. I'm gonna be straight up. Really, I love that about you.
The reason I read...
I think that's cool and interesting.
The reason I read the book is because Jasmine emailed us and I was like, this is intriguing. I read the book because of this email.
Okay, wait, sick. I love.
And I had crossed my wires in my head and remembered that Jasmine had said that Lestat reminded them of Angel. I'm going to be straight up. Oh. I was reading the book and I was like, what the fuck are they talking about? It's like, listen, I kept being like, they're so off base. Louis is like Angel. Why did they say that Lestat reminded them of Angel? Then I finished the book, went back to the like, email, no, and was like, they literally did not say that.
No, they literally said that. That's sense. So funny. Yeah. Oh my God.
Hey. Anyways.
I love this. And thanks for bringing this up. I love this very, very, very much.
Yeah. Shout out. It was very interesting enough that I read a whole book about it.
Jasmine, thank you so much for your message. Shall we read Sophie's now?
Hey, besties. First up, I just want to say how much I'm loving your readings applying the mythical situations to teen struggles, because that application is something that truly does not come to me easily. I just get so caught up in the moment that it completely flies over my head. Like an angel, sure, I got the link between Angel's vamp face and him getting horny, but the whole nice older boy not being what he seems and revealing it in a compromising moment, I felt so silly hearing you describe that because, of course. So, yay, you guys. Keep being clever / better at media literacy than me. Smiley face. On the topic of Angel's horniness. Truly, I just assumed he was also a teen turned vamp a la Edward Cullen, like 19 max. But finding out he was 26? Please say it ain't so. As unfortunate of a fact as that is, we're going to have to keep dealing with it for seasons to come. So here are my coping strategies. One. Literally so many high schoolers in this show are played by full adults, so he really doesn't look all too out of place. As such, I will be pretending he is 19 until the exact moment they tell me otherwise.
Hell yeah.
Two, at least Buffy's the Slayer. Like, I know she's still only 16, but at least there is a reason for Angel to concern himself with what she's up to, and he's not just perving on a random girl. Three, oh my god, the drama is so delicious though. The cross burnt into his neck. Holy shit, that fucking slaps like you've never seen. Looking forward to finding out more about Liam O'Malley and hearing your coverage. Sophie XX.
Keys, keys.
Keys, keys.
Oh my god. I love this email. And thank you for sharing your coping strategies. I think I can employ these as well. Like, I love. I know, like him being, if he was 19 and 26, oh my god. Huge age gap, but also 19 and 16, huge age gap.
I mean, but also 276 and 19 and 16, huge age gap. Like, my coping mechanism is he's a vampire and this would never happen.
He's a vampire,
like,
we gotta like deal. Truly,
he's something that doesn't exist, and so therefore, it doesn't bother me at all. And I don't, and like, it's fantasy, and like, who cares? It's so bizarre because. If he was a human character, I would be more like, but because there is never going to be any situation in history where a teenage girl is being hit on by a man who is 300 years old, I therefore am like, yeah, whatever. I'll look past it. It's like, pretend he's a vampire. Because same with Edward. Like, right. Edward is physically 17, but Edward is also not 17. Edward is like 180 something. Yeah. Mentally, he's still
like it.
And he acts like it. He's playing bingo. He's watching Antique Roadshow.
I read his book recently. Oh my god.
He keeps saying
old ass
he
man.
Keeps saying whippersnappers.
Seriously, he's his pockets full of Werther's original. Yes. He can't fucking deal. They just appear. He's like, fuck.
It keeps being like
65 and it kept happening. It can't stop.
He keeps talking about like music these days is just noise.
No, he does. He's like
noise.
He's like Debussy forever.
Yeah. See?
He does.
And that's the deal. It's pretend.
No, he really fucks with Linkin Park in the book, I remember. So funny.
An 180-year-old man fucking with Linkin Park, I'll believe it when I see it. Stephanie
I know. I'll
Meyer.
Believe it when I see it. Yeah.
I'll believe
come
it
on.
When I see it. Damn. Well, thanks for these emails, everyone.
If you have thoughts on any of the new episodes, on this episode that we're on right now, send us an email. We are recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Love you all. Now back to the episode.
If you want to find us on social media, we're at @RGPresents_podcast on TikTok and Instagram. If you have thoughts, send them to recoveringgleek@gmail.com. What did you think of this episode? Did you play VMK as a kid? Did you play VMK as a kid? Because I can't find
were
anyone
who did. Were you Ian's VMK wife?
Are you
please
VMK
let us
wife?
Know.
Does our VMK son still ask?
She finds you here. She spent the last 30 years searching for you.
She's like, Lolo Blue. I'd recognize that black spiky hair and purple skin anywhere. That's what
oh
I looked like.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
I have not heard of VMK at all.
It was the
gag.
Did
you do Stardoll?
What?
Did you do Stardoll?
No, what is that?
Stardoll was like a paper doll, like dress up simulator, but it also had chat rooms in it. And you could like go to people's closets, which is, I mean, similar vibes.
Yeah.
But I mean, it wasn't.
That sounds like Neopets to me. Because VMK is very Club Penguin. Like they're basically the same thing, just reskinned.
Yeah, sure.
I remember VMK would always have like special edition outfits. So like when High School Musical came out, I like bought the Troy We're All in This Together white tracksuit and then would wear it around.
Oh my gosh. I would have asked you to be my VMK husband.
The gag of all gags. I loved that game.
You're gray. Ew.
You're gray. Email us recoveringgleek@gmail.com. If you like this podcast, rate and review us. Shout out, help other people find us. That would be really lovely. We'd appreciate it.
We would.
And go slay. I don't know. Have a good day. Have
will
a good
you be
time
slaying?
Out there.
Love you guys. See you later. Here is a kiss on your forehead from your internet friend, if you accept it. But it's not weird. Here you go.
Beep, boop, beep. After we talk about the being like, be careful what people
be
say
careful.
To you online.
No, seriously.
Well,
bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Follow us at recoveringgleek_podcast. Email us at recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Join our Patreon, patreon.com/recoveringgleek. Rate and review us and tell your friends, please.
Were you into Neopets? That's crazy. You are a Neopets girl.
Okay, thank you.
I was hard into Neopets. I remember it was like the goal of my life. They had a weekly newsletter called the Neopian Times where people would submit stuff and they would just like pick a few submissions to be in the Neopian Times. And I was like, I would die to be in the Neopian Times. I submitted so many times.
Oh.
And then I finally got published once. And I never submitted again because I was like, well, I've done it. Feather in my cap.
Geeked.
Yeah. And I was like a fanboy for certain people on the Neopian Times, which is so funny to think about in retrospect, that I'm like, this person, I remember specifically, you can probably still find it, there was a comic in the Neopian Times called Spooky that would, every few weeks would get published, And it, the author was just an art student, like in college studying art, who essentially drew the comics as practice and then would submit them to the Neopian Times. And I'm sure it's just like some random 19-year-old who was just practicing their art. And this was a fun way to practice their art and like get it onto the internet. And they had no idea that this random 9-year-old was so obsessed. Like every, I read every single spooky comic. Aww. Every time a new one came out, I was like, a new spooky.
I love that. If you are the author, creator of Spooky, let us know, please.
Email us, you got a fan.
If you were Ian's wife on...
On VMK, we got two VMK, search warrants out. One is for my VMK wife, and one is for the illustrator and creator of the Neopian Times classic, Spooky.